Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
We all love to hear about some oddities of the game we love of football, and Timothy P. Brown of Football Archaeology brings us another one of these great formations from yesteryear. It's called the Side Saddle Quarterback Formation, and he's telling us all about it and the team that ran it in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. Darren Hayes, PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, and welcome to another edition of Tuesdays, where we go and visit Timothy P. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com, and he shares one of his most recent tidbits on some great football history with some great insight, and we really enjoy this. And Tim, tonight you have a great subject to talk to us about, and welcome back, by the way. You have a tidbit you wrote on side saddle quarterback formation, and we're anxious to hear about it and what you got to history on that.
Yeah, so this is one of those where and thank you for your gracious welcome, by the way.
that sort of got thrown in there, sorry about that.
Yeah, so you know, this is one where I enjoy, and I think, you know, people who are into football enjoy kind of some oddities that came along the way, right? And, the game did not show up the way, you know, it's packaged today. So, and there are some things that were done by, you know, some of the top coaches ever that just seem, you know, a bit odd. So this one, the side saddle quarterback, you know, in order to kind of understand it, I got to go back another, you know, maybe even 60 years, because side saddle was kind of 30s and 40s, especially in Tennessee, especially is who used it a lot. But, so if you think about even rugby today, the guy that we might consider the quarterback, the guy who gets the ball, they're having the scrum and they're using their feet to kick the ball back to that person. Then he picks it up and then he tosses it to somebody else. Well, when football began, they did exactly the same thing because they were playing rugby. And then even as they started, going with the rule of possession and downs and all of that, they still were doing fundamentally the same thing. The center snapped the ball with his foot. And, you know, the ball was laying on its side. He put his foot on top of it, or put his foot in front of it and heeled it back, or rolled, either way, he rolled the thing back. And so the ball was coming back unpredictably. And so the quarterback, just like the guy in rugby, was kind of squatting behind a foot or two behind the center, and he'd pick the ball up and toss it to somebody else to run with it. So then in football, in the like 1890-ish period, they started snapping with their hands. And initially, there's a great photo of Henry Lewis, who's an All-American center at Harvard. You see him snapping with his hand, but he's got the ball on its side. So when they first started snapping the hand, they were still doing just like they did with the feet. They rolled it on its side back to the quarterback. So the quarterback stayed in more or less the same position as that rugby guy. And grabbed the ball and then tossed it. So then, a little bit later on, then they started what we really now think of as snapping, where they were lifting the ball up and tossing it either lifting it and putting it between their legs where the quarterback had his hands, not up on the butt, but down low, and he'd grab it, or they'd just roll it back, or they'd toss it back to him. So a lot of times that quarterback, sometimes is directly behind the center, and other times is off to the side, so kind of between the guard center gap. And, and I'm not sure exactly what the rationale was for that back in the day, but that all pretty much mostly went away, in the early 19 teens when, the Notre Dame box was getting big and there was a rule change regarding who could run with the ball. The first guy receiving the snap from center could now run with the ball. And so they started snapping back to the fullback or halfback in the backfield. And so the whole single wing offense and, the Carlisle formation and all that kind of stuff was coming into play. So a lot of times at that point, the quarterback never even touched the ball, but he a lot of times he'd stay in that same position. Sometimes he'd move over a position or two. But there were times that he'd still get the ball. It's more of a fake, or a change up for them. But then, in the 30s, Tennessee developed the side saddle QB formation, and it got them to the Rose Bowl. So I mean, they were a heck of a team, back then. They had a lot of good things going on, but the side saddle quarterback, like this earlier guy, he'd align in kind of the guard center gap, and he'd be perpendicular to the line of scrimmage, right? And he was in the guard center gap on the strong side, but he was facing the weak side. And then from there, he could get the snap, though, that he was more of a faker and blocker than, a runner, but he could get the snap. Mostly they still snapped it back to the deep backs. It was just I think they had the belief that this could be something that that aligning him that way confused the defense, and it allowed him to do, spin moves and reverse out and lead blocking to the weak side more effectively. Because they used to run dives to the weak side, and he'd head over to the weak side and smash up in there. So it's just one of those goofy things that it's like, I don't know how they figured out that they thought, why they thought this was better than other approaches, but it worked. And so then there were, after that, then there were guys from Tennessee, guys who played there. Bowden Wyatt, he ended up being the coach at Wyoming after the war, in 47. And then he was at Arkansas, and then he ended up being the coach at Tennessee. But they, he continued using it, though he converted to the side saddle running a T rather than the single wing. And there were other guys, another guy used it at Wyoming. It was used at Amherst, Brown, and BYU, BYU even in the early 60s. And then the one that, maybe surprises most people is that in the guy named, I believe his last name is Bede. I'm not sure it's Bede or Beedy, but Dick Bede from Youngstown State. He's the guy who invented the penalty flag. But he ran the side saddle in the late 60s and early 70s. And one of his last quarterbacks was a guy named Ron Jaworski. So, Jaworski, I mean, it's new enough that if you're old enough to remember Ron Jaworski as a player, then this side saddle thing is a little bit closer, than you might expect. It's not that far back in the game's history. So, I don't know, just one of those little oddities. It's just kind of fun to think about and how they ended up, coming up with this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting. It's very unique. And I think these coaches, that's what makes football so interesting. It's all these games within a game and a strategy. And how can you put the defense under duress to gain an advantage and changing formation, having something they're not used to seeing, I'm sure that gains an advantage real quick if a defense isn't ready for it. So probably somebody like Bill Belichick or somebody will bring this out one of these upcoming seasons, yeah, and we'll all sit there and say, hey, Tim talked about that back last year.
Well, yeah, Belichick's a big old-time football scholar, so he's I'm sure he's very familiar with this thing, but yeah, if anybody would pull it out, it'd probably be Belichick.
Well, look at the NFL basically brought the single wing back, 10 years ago, when they call it the Wildcat, but they're running single wing principles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what a lot of that stuff is. Even, you know, some of the things like the counter tray, and, you know, I mean, that goes back a little bit further, but that's just wing T type stuff as far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm, you know? And so, yeah, it's what's old is new again. And, you know, it's sometimes it's, you know, what we think of as new, sometimes just somebody under comparable, you know, situations, it came up with the same thing all on their own. Right. And other times they were just watching an old film or, you know, came across some concept and, you know, they borrowed from the old guys, but either way, hey, if it reinvigorates the game and brings in something, what looks to be new, you know, that's great.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, Tim, speaking about something new, you have something new that comes out each and every day in your tidbits, something new to us that's actually old in the game of football. And we really appreciate the wide array of things that you present to us each week. Now, there's people out there that are always wondering how they can be joining in on these tidbits each and every day. And if you could share that secret with them, they'd be much obliged.
Yeah, so it's no secret at all. If you're interested in it and, you know, reading the articles every day, just go to footballarchaeology.com, subscribe. It's free. So, and you'll just get an email every day with the, you know, with the information in your inbox. I mean, you can still go to the site and read the past, read the archives, etc. The other alternative is, you know, I post each tidbit on Twitter, so you can follow me on Twitter at Football Archaeology, and that's it. But hopefully, either way, you get it and you read it and you have fun with it.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is football history is evergreen. So whether you look at it tonight or you look at it 10 years from now, it's still going to be the same, and it's history. So still be refreshing. So Tim, really appreciate you sharing and your time and your knowledge with us and this great football history. And we will talk to you again next Tuesday.
Very good. Thank you, Darren.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.